came and you took control. You touched my very soul. You always showed me that loving you is where it's at. You made me so very happy. I'm so glad you came into my life. I didn't plan that. I got lucky. And anyway, we were singing that to Jesus. I mean, if you think about those song, those words, it's pretty cool. Good morning. You made me so very happy. Boy, hopefully you'll feel that today. Well, yesterday was the Compton Initiative. Frederick, welcome to Bay Cities. Good to see you here. This is my lifelong friend, and for one main reason, other than he's David's best buddy from Seattle. He's another guy that I met in my life that can only sit on an aisle seat in a jet. We have a strange connection. He taught me what to do if you don't have an aisle seat. He goes when he flies. You want to sit next to him on the aisle. He has $20 bills, a couple hundred of them, in his pocket. He taught me this. You know, a lot of people can teach you a lot of different things. So if he's in the middle, he looks over, leans over with that little boy grin that he's got. And he says, you know, I want to sit on the aisle. And they go, no, it's my seat. And so he pulls out a 20. He'll go as high as he has to. So yesterday, you never know what you're going to learn at Bay Cities. You never know. So yesterday, we did the Compton Initiative. We do it four times a year, each quarter. And boy, it's rewarding when you go and put in a morning. You get there at 7 and there's a rally. There's a police officer that I would love to come preach, a sheriff, a sergeant, that he's already a pastor, so he's busy on Sundays too, but this guy is awesome. He told the story, he had us all crying, and then I don't know who the gal was that sang, but she's a Grammy Award winner, I should know, but she was very good. They asked me to come up after her to sing a song, and I said, no, we're good. But I got a few slides for you to look at, just for fun. Enjoy, huh? Yeah. You know, to have those kids out there, to have Lewis in his wheelchair, Laura 8 months pregnant, it just kind of shames everybody that didn't go, but you're okay. You have full forgiveness from Jesus and us, but we just take notice. Don't feel beat up at all. So, but we really had a good time. We painted two houses across the street, and it was a lot, and it was fun. So, wonderful day. Also, the Guatemala trip, we had a meeting last week. It looks like there's 19 people confirmed, and it is a good group of people. And we were kind of stunned by that. We didn't know how. My wife has just corrected me from the front, 21. 21. But it's a great group going, and we're going the third week of January, and there's still room for you to get on board if you want. Literally on board. Yeah. 22. Like Richard Nixon. I am not a crook. Sorry. Usually not political if you're new with us. And I have some other news. It's not a big deal to you, I'm sure, but it is to me. And to my wife, we are taking a break. We're going to take a three-week break starting tomorrow. And we've never done this before. And not sure who is going to miss who the most. I'm not sure if it's us missing you or you missing us. We're hoping there's a little bit of both in there, but whatever. I told an old friend at lunch that's known me longer than anybody in this room, that we are going, and we're really excited. We're going to Hawaii, and we have a couple free things which put it together well for us and financially. And I told him that we were kind of taking a sabbatical. And he goes, Jim, what are you talking about? A sabbatical is 4 months. I said, I didn't say I was retiring. That sounds like retirement. I mean, I'm normal. Come on. But we're excited, very excited, a little too excited, actually. I shouldn't admit it, probably. But we're going to go, and we're going to rest, and we're going to have fun. I have some reading that I want to do that I could do here. But, you know, there's, like, I better read these two books, or I would determine myself a failure. I want to set up for 2018 what we're going to teach and what we're going to look at. I want to redo the self-feeder and put Jesus in there a little bit more, if you know what I mean, and some other things. And I want to hang out with Sandy and have fun. That's what we're going to do. So I don't know whether you're to feel jealous of us. I would if I were you in a very beautiful way, but we are really excited. And we've told a number of you just because of conversation, and you've been excited as well, and that's made us feel good. David is going to speak, the Colonel, first 2 weeks, his first series at Bay Cities. So, and I'm going to be watching, so if he goes long, I will call him. And he's okay with that, the commander. I ask him all the time to talk about himself, because his life is a story to me of his education, his involvement with GPS. He's probably one of the top two guys in the world on the subject of GPS, in the sky and on earth. Nobody else. If we had trouble today, he could get a call right now and go to a building that is a black building that we don't know about and don't know where it is, and he can't tell us anything when we get back or we die. We just go away. Because of the knowledge that's in his head, and as a servant, he would go if needed. But he'll never tell you that. But if you think you know a lot about GPS, guess what? My friend knows more than you. So there. And just a bunch of other stuff, you know, being the commander of Kirkland Air Force Base for 3 years. I mean, who does that? And a lot of it he can't tell us about, because then he might die. Right here. Just melt right here. So, but he's a wonderful man. And then my friend Kenny is taking the third week. Yes. Kenny. And, Kenny. Yeah, don't say Davy, okay? Don't for David. Davy. That's Davy Crockett, king of, But I'm excited for Kenny to be up here because of the man that he is. He's got a pastor's heart, and he could go long because he's so funny. It's okay. No, it's not okay. I'll be quiet. So, that's what's up. So, today's theme, Jesus says, and we're talking about the commands of Jesus, as you know, live my new command. Live it. Live it. Live it all day long. And hopefully you're going to see that and understand that as we move through things. One fellow said, I read of a student who made a mistake in identification, which can happen to any of us. He was in college chapel and looking at the order of service, and he literally groaned out loud. It wasn't, nothing was happening, but he looked at it and he just groaned. And the middle-aged lady next to him asked, what was the matter? The student said, well, it's the preacher. He's my director of studies. I have to go to his lectures, and he's the dullest man alive. He's utterly boring. See, this is my problem with you people. You're so smart coming from the South Bay and cool that you figure out the joke before I'm even close to the punchline. So be proud of yourself, and you arrogant ones that, okay. And oh, said the woman sitting next to him, do you know who I am? Student looked at her and said, no, I actually don't. Well, said the woman, I'm that preacher's wife. Student said faintly, and do you know who I am? No, she said. Hallelujah, said the student, and he left quickly. I had a second punchline, didn't I? Gotcha. Oh my. Let's pray as we begin. Lord, help us be lovers of others. Assist us, teach us, talk to us, burn in our hearts and minds that this is who you want us to be. And take us over that bridge, whatever it is. Take us to a place where we don't focus all day long on ourselves, that we can get outside of that. Jesus, take us to a place we've never been before, day after day after day. Give us the strength, the wisdom, and the decision-making power so that we can put in action what you want, what you call us to. May each of us in this room, wherever we're at in the journey of our faith, be touched today, and we want you to do the touching. So take us now. Jesus, we welcome you into this room. You are real to us. You are here in our midst. and we want you to take us. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, well, we're in a series, if you happen to be new, talking through the commands of Jesus and pulling them out of the New Testament, the Gospels, basically. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he said, and teach people all that I've commanded. That's what he tells his 11 disciples after Judas was gone, and us through them. He gives us that high call and command. So we're trying to define them, pull them out, what Jesus said from his words. And today, the message is about the meat and potatoes of the Last Supper. This isn't salad and appetizers. We're past that. That was foot washing, which probably doesn't work with the word appetizer. You know what I mean? Today, Jesus gets down to business. He really does. And he gets there pretty quickly and tells us what he wants to be the supreme command in our life, really. He tells us what is to be the business of our life. Remember Scrooge? Mankind, shaking the chains. Mankind was our business, and he just stacked up coins in his life. That thing we're to get up every day for and focus on and plant in our brain and in our hearts and hopefully in our shoe leather and our hands in our life as our key priority above everything. We still got to do all the other stuff. Please clean the house regularly. Please. That thing that we should never leave home without, ever, ever. I mean, there isn't a better message than this in my mind and what this is about today. It's so simple to understand and oh, so difficult to do regularly. It doesn't come natural to us. So if you ever choose to live this kind of life out, it's because you choose. Now, you can be a really nice guy or a nice gal and be kind in life. And it's better than being mean and nasty, most certainly. Because there's plenty of those folks around we touch and we go, ooh. It's probably hard to be you. You don't say that to them, but you think it in your mind, right? But oh, to pull this off. So Jesus tells us how to live today, tells the guys and us through them. First off, number one, Jesus talks about his coming death. His coming death. Now, some are uncomfortable talking about this in practical, real ways. I happen to be not one that is, but we all know what's going to happen. Every one of us in this room, if Jesus doesn't come back first, is going to die. We don't like talking about it. It's not our favorite subject anytime. But it is real reality, and we all kind of know it. And I bring it up way too much, especially inside my family. There are parts of my family that says, Dad, please, don't talk about you dying. And I'm thinking, okay, right now or ever? And I just smile, and they know I'm going to continue to. And I think of Paul. Paul talked about his death, and he talked about it kind of with a smile on his face, if you think about it. It wasn't a problem for him. He said, look, absent from the body, present with the Lord, I am not afraid to die. Matter of fact, he says, remember John, it would be better to be with him. And he's not trying to say you can hurt yourself. But that is true. When you die, your life is better than it is now. And to understand that, the big picture is a big, big deal. A big deal. Folks who don't understand the gospel, this is sort of a strange story, this gospel thing. And the truth is, it answers the death issue. That's the biggest part of it. Yeah, it's about Jesus, it's about forgiveness, all this good stuff, this good news. But it really answers the death issue for me and you. And that's part of what Jesus tells us here. His death brings on good things. And those don't correspond well. Those of us that get the gospel message, we understand it. You're thinking, come on, Jim, move on. Come on, move on. I got it. But maybe somebody here doesn't understand that. That's the gold pot for your life in the gospel story. You get to have the answers to death. You see, when he dies, Jesus, he takes his rightful place. What are we talking about? Look at John 13, 31. You ready? Fired up? Cool. When he was gone, well, who? Well, Judas. When Judas finally moved out of the way, Jesus is able to move on with the dinner. All right? Now, one of the points here is when somebody says no to Jesus, and you know they do, and in a defined way, they're not willing to embrace him and trust him, you got to learn how to I don't want to say get comfortable with it, but it's part of life. Some people just aren't going to choose what we have chosen. I mean, the thought of sitting here in a room like this anywhere for 35 or 40 minutes or an hour with music, or an hour and 10. Thank you for laughing at me. I appreciate that. I really do. The people that are new are going, what are you talking about? But the thought of sitting here is just foolish. I mean, you could be getting ready for a football game. You could be going to the park. What are you doing? You could be jogging. You could be at Pete's or Starbucks or wherever the heck. Coffee Bean, if you really want that. When people say no to Jesus, life moves on. And you, I, could say no to Jesus, and life just moves on. It just does. Well, let's go on. So when he was gone, and some people are, you can't win them. Even in your family, it's so sad. But it is reality. You got to have a place for that. You got to build a compartment. Sad compartment. Jesus said at this point, so he says to the 11, now the Son of Man is glorified. And he's saying, look, it's time. It's happening, guys. We are here. That thing I've talked about for 3 years with you, 2 9/10, it's here. He's referring to his coming death, which would be the next day. And he goes on to describe, and God is glorified in him. And he's talking about himself. He's in the room, but he's talking about the Messiah giving his life for all of mankind. Not only he will be glorified by his coming death, but God the Father as well, because the plan of God is taking shape for the past, for the present, and for the future, which we are, obviously, at this point in time. God's gift to the world for all of mankind is about to be on display. It's great sadness, really torture. But to understand this from a different perspective is a big part of the plan. Verse 32, fact. If God is glorified in him, which he obviously will be, which he just laid out, God will glorify the Son in himself. You see, Jesus came to serve, not to boast, not to demand, but to do his Father's will. And that is exactly what he's doing. He could have stopped this whole thing, but he didn't. Beautifully. He really gave his life for each one of us in this room. And to get that picture crystal clear, HD clear. You know, the new TVs, it's like you look at it and you go, are they looking back at me? It's like too real. QLED or whatever the heck it is. It's above my pay grade. But, you know, when you're a year behind, it's not bad. God will glorify the Son himself and will glorify him at once. And he's speaking here of his coming death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven. It's all taken place, all of history at this one point in time. His Father will lift him up at the appropriate time. And this is the time for all to see and for all at this point in time in history to hear about the story of that we tell over and over again in a million different ways. Death brings glory to him. How? By providing salvation for all of mankind. Salvation is available to everybody. And Jesus did it. And that glorifies God. He made a way for man to be able to get back to him. Jesus provides the forgiveness that is needed. He provides a covering for our wrongdoing because God cannot be connected to wrongdoing and this thing called sin. It has to be cleared away, washed away, dealt with in order for us to be in relationship with God for all eternity. He really provides the way for us to deal with the death issue. This is the bottom line of why we're here, folks. Not only to reach other people, to learn more about the things of God, to understand Jesus more, but this is a guarantee from God himself, from Jesus himself, that you and I will live for eternity. This is gold, folks. Nothing gets better than this. Now, selfishly, there is nothing more important for you in your life than to have the answer to death for you. And once you really have that, there's this eagerness that happens inside of you that wants to give it away to other people, right? How can you not? I mean, How could you not? You are looking out for you if you follow Jesus. You are looking out for you when you follow Jesus. All right, number two. Jesus being glorified in this way, which is promised, he promises, brings on a new reality for these 11 guys, and in truth for us as well. But we're kind of going into where they're at. Number two, Jesus tells them, I'm leaving. So right after he gives them this sort of good news, they don't understand it all as we can today because we know what happened. Jesus tells them, bye-bye. See ya. After all these glorious words, after washing their feet. Now, they wouldn't have understood this. They wouldn't have accepted this well. I would imagine somebody raising their hand. It's not talked about. We may be able to see it in heaven. I don't know if God will let us replay anything. But this, excuse me, Jesus, we would rather you not leave. Can we have a discussion about that? They didn't want to hear this from him. They loved him. Now, for about 10% of you in this room, if I told you today that Sandy and I are leaving and we're moving to Hawaii, and we really have appreciated you for the last 29, almost 30 years, but bye-bye. Notice I said 10% of you. Kind of a little humor. Maybe it's 18%. We're not saying that. I'm just a guy. I may be your guy. It's funny. 4 weeks ago, I guess it was, Sue Armstrong's daughter got married. I don't think I've told you this. But we were sitting next to, around a table, a group of retired people. And Bob Keitel, who was the chief at Redondo Beach Fire Department for a while, a long time. By the way, he started coming to church because he was the chief across the street. Is he here? I hope I'm talking about him. I don't know if he's here. Oh, yeah, he's here. Well, he has no idea. He's wondering, what the heck is Jim going to say? So he shared this with me, too, really directly at the wedding. I appreciated this because we were talking about it. And this woman would sing every Sunday a solo. And it would go out the open windows because if you didn't open the windows at the women's club, you'd just die every Sunday. So they'd be open, and they'd be across washing their trucks or doing what firemen do on Sunday morning. And they'd hear this beautiful singer. And they wandered over. And I think there was a few times where they came in because they felt welcome and got donuts and bagels, which were in the back of the room. You had to come in. You had to come inside, which I liked. And then she'd sing, and they'd leave. Which I didn't really appreciate. So I'm at this dinner, this wedding, which I had the privilege of performing, and we're sitting around the table, and I look at Bob. I says, hey, Bob, how old are you? And he goes, 74. I go, when did you turn? He goes, I just turned 74. I said, okay, so you're 10 years and months older than me. So I'm 63. And I said, hey, Bob, when did you retire? And he goes, I retired at 60. And I went, you know, I'm not really good with numbers. But I said, 60, huh? He's sitting right next to me. We're just chatting during dinner. And I said, so what you're telling me, Bob, is that I can retire. He goes, oh, no. Oh, no. And he became a chief. He had this look on his face. It came back. And he goes, Janie, his wife's sitting next to him. He goes, Jim's talking about retiring. You need to talk to him. They said I can retire at 75. You can't. Yeah, it's just cute. I don't know why I'm telling you. That has nothing to do with Jesus. He's retiring, though, in a certain sense. He's leaving. Okay, there we go. All right. So he starts out in verse 33. We'll get back to it. If you're new, just kind of hang on. This is just kind of our little stuck with me. Verse 33, my children. This is the only time in the New Testament that Jesus says this in the book of John, really the book of love, as many calls it. John loving Jesus and Jesus loving us. But he says, my children. It's an affectionate term. It's a warm term. It's an endearing term. It's a term of love. And it's given in a gentle way. He just told them he's leaving. This brutalized them emotionally. They were stuck on him. Jesus was their guy. He goes on to say, I will be with you only a little longer. I'm going to be gone, guys. You got to deal with this. I'm out of here. You'll not have me in the same way you have me now. Things are going to be different. He's trying to bring him along. He says, you will look for me. You're going to look for me. And just as I told the Jews, they may remember him warning the Jews, that just the day before, he said this. He says, you will have the light only for a little longer. In the same way, they had the Messiah with them. Follow it while you can. He says, so I tell you, his 11 men, he's informing them, where I'm going, he says, not only Jesus leaving the disciples, you cannot come. I mean, this is dramatic to them. What do you mean? We've been following you for 3 years, 24/7. Again, you got to step into the emotion of this to get what's going on here. They aren't welcome to join him where he's going at this point. And this is an ouch for them. I mean, this is hard news. He's making his leaving very clear to them. They didn't understand it. We do now, kind of looking back. We know the story. These guys loved Jesus a lot, and they wouldn't have wanted to hear this. This would have been difficult to hear for them at this point in this great ending dinner that they didn't know it was the Last Supper. We do. They didn't know. They probably had some denial going on, I'm thinking. Now, Jesus always gives them and us the truth, and sometimes it's hard truth. Sometimes, as you well know, it's uncomfortable truth. So I want to ask you a question today before we move to point three. As you sit here week after week, those of you that do, and boy, do I appreciate you, do you ever feel uncomfortable as stuff's coming out? You're sort of skin's crawling a little bit? Of course you do. Do you ever think in your mind, Jim, I'd like you to move on from that point? You don't say it out loud. Or do you ever think in your brain, I know you do, but I can't believe people keep coming back to hear this stuff because it's a little brutal at times. And it's not me. I'm just the messenger. It's the truth that's from Jesus. It's hard. I see people, especially new people, because I can see a lot more. If you pick your nose, I see it. Now, you could sneak if I'm looking over here. But I'll see new people sitting there, and they're looking at me. You know, I know you people are looking at me right now. I can see it. You're looking at me. But I'll see somebody. I'll catch them, and they're looking around the room thinking something's happening to me emotionally, and is it happening to the other people? Or it's the look, and I'm only about 60% right. But they'll be looking, and they'll why are these people here? Most of you did that in the beginning, if you know what I mean. But he gives hard truth. An uncomfortable truth, and he's doing this right here during the Last Supper. Number three, Jesus starts something totally new. Totally new. Jesus gives them new news, which alters everything for them and for us. And to understand this, as you move through your life of trying to follow and understand who Jesus is, this is one of the biggest things you could ever understand. This is about freedom. And it's not always taught that way. A lot of times it's taught as a command to control you. This is not what this is about. It's the freedom for you to really be you. You don't have to be like anybody else. Now, you have to connect some things to your life if you want to listen to Jesus. And it's not about salvation. It's about impact. It's about fruit. It's about being really good at things in life. Jesus gives his 11 guys, and all of us, I believe, our supreme standard for life. If I was to ask you, what is the most important thing you've done or you're going to do in your life? I don't know that this would be on your list. I mean, you'd kind of go, yeah, I want to do that. I want to be that kind of guy. These are orders from the commander here, and I don't mean David Goldstein here. These are very understandable, as you'll see. Hard to do, but very understandable. John 13:34, as we've talked about before, and will again because of the importance of it. Jesus says to them at this point where they're upset and brokenhearted that what he's saying, I don't want to hear. a new command, something fresh and new, I give to you. And he says, love one another. And he's talking about them with one another. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. So we're going to break that down a little bit today. Hopefully have some fun with it. To bite-sized chunks and just kind of talk about it and talk through it about what Jesus is getting at. Number one, it's a new command. It's a new command. New in the sense that this command has never been given before, ever, like this, in this particular way. A new command I give you, he says, is clear that it's a command directly from Jesus. You want to be in relationship with Jesus, he wants you to understand and get this 100%. It's not about your performance being 100%, but he wants you to get this in your brain and in your heart and understand this with great clarity. He's laying out the supreme standard for life. You want to have a great marriage in your life? If two people come together and say, we're going to love one another like Jesus loved us, that is the basis, the foundation. And it's hard to do, especially with the same person for 40, 50, 60 years. This is how your wife, when you go past 60, can become sweet pea to you. To you. Because that's what my father-in-law calls his wife, who's here today, my mother-in-law. Sweet pea. I have not transferred over to calling Sandy sweet pea, but maybe I should. Sweet pea. Gil's from Georgia, and that just makes sense, and we all get it. The love of his life is Jesus and Louise, his wife. I always thought it might be one of his son-in-laws. I'm just messing with you. This is Jesus' words to his 11 guys. He says it's a new command. Number two, it's about love. He says we're to love one another. And the truth is, love isn't a new command. Now, I'm going to prove it to you. There's nothing new about loving. This is all over the Old Testament. It set love as a standard. They didn't always do it. Look at Deuteronomy 6:5 on the screen. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. It's clear. The Old Testament sets up love as a standard. The Old Testament tells us to love people. Leviticus 19:18, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge. Don't hold it inside against anyone among your people. But this is what I want you to do, the Old Testament says. Love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Love is not a new command. It's not. It's not. This new news is about what Jesus has done for us. He has set something new in place. This is different than before. We're going to look at Luke 22:20. It says, after supper, this is a little bit later on from where we're at now, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant. That covenant word is huge. It's a solemn statement that is binding from God to us. Covenant. He says, in my blood, the red fluid that runs throughout our body and that ran throughout his body as 100% man and 100% God at the same time, which is poured out for you. My blood is going to run for you because of what it's going to accomplish. And there's a promise in my blood. This is the gospel unpacked. It's all about love, but not just general love. He speaks of a covenant. It's a pledge, a guarantee, a binding commitment. In Matthew 26:28, it's laid out like this. This is my blood of the covenant, the promise, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. This blood that Jesus spilt for us is what brings the potential for forgiveness in our life. It offers us a promise that all will be well in our life no matter what happens. This is what's new. This is what's different. Look at the screen again. Ephesians 1:7 says this, in him, who's him? Jesus. as we have redemption. How? How does this redemption come? How is it made available? Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. This new covenant changes things. It alters everything. Our future is different because of this blood, because of this new covenant. And that's part of what this new command has embodied in it. It lays out, it changes where our devotion ought to be, where our dependence should be, and in who it should be, where our ability to love the way Jesus is going to ask us to love is fueled from. A lot of people that I've known and know fall in love with the Word of God, the Bible. Fall in love with it. Study it enormously. I just want to tell them, please, fall in love with Jesus, not the Word of God. That'll follow. This is Him. But please fall in love with Jesus, the one who died. It's such a simple switch, but you gotta put it on. Please. Don't become an academic. That only leads to legalism and judgment of other people. This new command is built on something difficult and different. It's his death, which offers us the answer to death. And number three, are you getting this? Is this making sense to you, I hope? Don't say no. You'll depress me. This new command is new because certainly he died for it and brought on, ushered in this new way of being connected to God himself. But we're to love, number three, in the same way that Jesus loves. Now, this gets to the practical sort of what's to go out from us. He says, as I have loved you, right? This is where it gets tough. Love in general, good thing. We'll all vote, yeah, I want love more than hate. Yeah, all day. But Jesus sets the bar. That's what he's doing here. And they probably understood and went, wait a minute, that's a lot. That's a lot. Jesus sets the target pretty high. Huge challenges laid out for every one of us. Because it's sort of a passive love. It's not an aggressive love. It's not an offensive love. It's a love that kind of takes it, that turns the other cheek, that doesn't get ticked off all the time. Obviously, this is impossible by ourselves on our own. It's not going to happen, period. You know that. I know that. Jesus is telling them and us, but yes, we can love like he loved. That's what he's trying to tell us. If he asks you to do something, you actually can do it. With the transforming power of this new covenant, understanding it, embracing it, of what's to come, of the comforter that he's going to send, which is the Holy Spirit that's going to assist us, help us, fuel us day in and day out. Make no mistake, this is a call to surrender for you and me. And we surrender our life to a lot of things. And to surrender your life to loving like Jesus loved, be very careful. It's a lot. And it's something you need to grow into. And when you do, there's so much gold down those that path. Like I said earlier, if you want to have a great marriage, this is where it's found. It's just not a partnership that you sign up for and you just work hard for. It's way more than that. It's about love. When love is in your house. And it doesn't mean it's going to drift down to your children, by the way. Doesn't guarantee that, because it's up to them as they become adults, young adults. They have to decide culture, your love for Jesus. Culture, your love for Jesus, because this culture out there is a whole lot more fun, at least it seems, than Jesus. And you know it, and it's got a grip. Number four, let's keep moving. This love is a necessity. That's what Jesus is laying out. So you must makes it a necessity, as I have loved you. This is very direct, and it's non-optional if you want to be close with Jesus. I don't think this is about heaven or not going to heaven at all. But it shows you if you really fall in love with him. It's mandatory. He puts it on our to-do list from him to you. So just for fun, how did Jesus love as we look back at his life? What did he do with these guys and others, as well as Judas, by the way, who he washed his feet before he became a traitor in the sense of acting on his desires. Most importantly, he made them more important than him. That's the answer. If you want to love like Jesus, when Sandy makes me more important than her, she's loving Jesus. And I think she ought to become very, very good at that. Because in our marriages is where we live. And where there's, you know, I say this, and I know I irritate you people, but it's okay, because there's 10 or 15% of your husband or wife that you can't stand. Don't ever tell them what the 10 or 15% is. It's too painful to even admit it. You go, Jim, this is where you're thinking, move on, dude. Just move on. You're having a good day. You're ready to fly away at 7 a.m. tomorrow. Just don't mess up. But it's true. And when you love in spite of that, when you don't expect for them to change, you don't need them to change, that's love. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. See, I bailed. That's wisdom. How he loved them was by giving himself for them, by dying for them so that we could have eternal life. Back to that death issue. That is the issue of issues for you. For you. Love is giving your life for others and to others. Just figure that out. Put that in a journal. I want to live loving others. I want to live giving for others and to others. Beyond that, he served them. He forgave them. He washed their feet. He was patient with them. He was engaged with them. He cared. The list could go on and on. Number four and last here. If we love this way, others see it. So there's a payoff as well that he adds to this issue. This love lived out shows we follow him. Because most people don't live like this, and you know it. There is an angst inside of every one of us that finds its way to the surface. Maybe it doesn't come out. We've learned discipline maybe. But it's still in here. And you know who you are. I know who I am. And sometimes it's not pretty. This is all about the effect we can have, the impact we can have on others, and talking about the potential fruit we can have in the lives of others. And love is the fuel. Love is the everything to get there. Look what he says in verse 35. By your love for others, your love for one another, everyone, all people, believers, non-believers, people you come in contact, when you love like this, you are a different man, a different woman. You stand out. It is so rare. Everybody will know, be aware of, and convinced of that you're my disciple. Because nobody loves like this. Nobody. But you can remove yourself from that nobody list. That you belong to me is what he's talking about. That you follow me. That you listen to me, because it's the only way to stay there. People come up to me and they talk about this gal I met that's really cool. Some of you know her. I'm not going to say her name. She's well known in South Bay. I saw her at Coffee Bean. Yep, I was there. It's a good place to meet because it's not full like Starbucks. So it's true. And she said, you know, we haven't been to your church for a while because they go to another church. And I said, you know, that's a great church. If your kids are happy there, stay there. And then when they graduate and go to school, just ditch them and come over here. I don't say that. Think it, but I don't say it. I said, I'm looking in her eyes, and she's a sweetheart. I said, do you know why you like it here? She goes, every time I come with my girlfriend, I love hearing you talk. And I'm just digging this. I'm loving what she's talking about, by the way. I just want you to know. I said, but you know, yeah, you got that, Mike. You and me are the only ones because we're old. Yeah. And I said, it's because Jesus is lifted up in this place over and over and over again. And so many guys love to talk about the Bible that they know and the knowledge that they can give off. And they don't mean it, but it's you can't find them oftentimes getting to Jesus. And I said, you, what that tells me, it tells me something great. It tells me that you love Jesus and you want to hear more about him. And there's like a lot of guys crossing over to get into where they're really comfortable with Jesus and the Jesus message. I'm pushing your buttons today, aren't I? But if you love like I love, Jesus says, everybody's going to know that you follow me. You can't talk and think about Jesus and not follow him. If you have love for one another, it's up to you. It's up to us. This if is big. It tells the tale of your life and mine. If you do, or if you don't, love like me. It tells others who we belong to. Love is so powerful when it's authentic and real. And somebody said to me yesterday, this guy, he was a black preacher, and he brought it yesterday for those of us that was there. And somebody said, Jim, a friend of mine, he says, you got a high bar tomorrow morning. I said, dude, I am only me. I can't do that. I wish I could. But that's not me. And I'm only given me. And I only want David to be David and Kenny to be Kenny and anybody that comes up here. Who are you? And how much love is attached? Jesus gives us a test in his life that we can give ourselves. He asks us to examine ourselves over and over again. If your love is limited, if love is given to get something, if you're constantly cranky, if you're all about you, and if your focus is yourself all the time, you're certainly not loving as I've asked. It's just the truth. His kind of love, it's a love that takes action. It puts forth effort. It has a willingness about it. It regularly shows up in the life of other people, not just for you, but for them. Jesus wants us to just start acting out this love that he talks about and do it regularly, putting effort forth, being full of a willingness to say, Jesus, I am so in with you and what you say. It is so hard to love my husband because there's 25% of him I can't stand, but I'm gonna. I was just messing with you guys, you know that. Because I'm getting close to being done and I'm about to leave and I just want to leave you with a little bit more humor. So three things Jesus teaches us real quick. I have made everything new for you. To get this, everything being new is a big deal. This is why I study Jesus. This is why I teach him and I focus on him and I'm always gonna. It's him. He's the one that brought on the new. The Jesus message is what changes your future and anybody else's. And it's what you want to give away once you get it. Now, I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 5:16. It's going to be on the screen. I'm just going to read through it and maybe highlight a few things. It says this. It says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Stop looking at the world. Stop thinking about the world and its standards and its culture and what it says is good or important. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we viewed him in this way. We compared him to the past, to Moses, to Elijah. They didn't know what to think. We do so no longer. We know who Jesus the Christ is, the Messiah. Verse 17, therefore, with this in mind, if anybody is in Christ, they believe in him, they follow him, Jesus is their guy. The new creation has come. Something has been changed. Something new has happened to you. The old is gone, the new is here, present forever and ever, never going to leave you. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself, brought us back to where he could embrace us because the wrongdoing in our past, present, or future has been wiped out by the blood of Jesus. Through Christ who gave us the ministry of reconciliation, now you become ministers for him. Every one of you. Verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ through the message of Jesus. That's how it happens. Not counting people's sins against them. That's the payoff of meeting Jesus. Your sins no longer count against you, stand against you. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. This is so powerful to know it's new. Number two, you need me to love like this. Jesus says this clearly. Over and over again throughout the New Testament, we need to understand our limitations, and they are great in many areas, especially in the love department. And you know if you look at yourself, we need Jesus. Just admit it. Without him, we're not okay. Tell him the truth. Without him, we're not complete. We end up in trouble or at least troubled. And we see people live through this stuff, and we're thinking, dude, all you need is a little bit more Jesus. Come on. Get in the boat. Number three, this love is what can change the world. He told us others will know, others will see, others will acknowledge that something's different about us. If we love like this, it'll be different. Stuff we couldn't do on our own, we'd be able to do. That Jesus makes a difference in the love department. And boy, does he. Why does Jesus remind us so often about love over and over and over again? Because it's hard to love. We all want to be loved, dying to be loved. So start loving. Become the guy or gal Jesus wants you to be. This is the supreme standard for life. Your life may be the best picture people get of Jesus. You live with that, and I don't mean live in fear of that, but understand the responsibility that we possess as ministers of reconciliation, that I might be the best picture that people get of Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, sweetheart, one more service and we're out of here. I'm sorry. We need to pray. Sorry. Is that too much? Too much again? Jim, settle down. Bow your heads. Lord, thank you. Thank you that we can laugh together, that we can be friends in this room. And make the love in this room between us, one another, especially the husbands and wives, may it grow and become great. Lord, help us to shine in our South Bay, gently, lovingly, and respectfully to others who don't know him. Let them feel our deep commitment to being loving no matter what. May it be so in our lives. May we see the fruit of it in the years ahead. We love you. We love you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. See ya.
I lost that love before. Got mad and closed.